and welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis. With us today, the area director of the Greater Philadelphia Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Mary Ann Murtha. And Mary Ann, welcome back.
Thank you, Laura. I'm very excited to be here.
It's wonderful to see you. But obviously, we're here today to talk really a lot about what we've been going through in these last, is it 5 months now?
5 months, yep.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's been interesting since I started in January as the area director. So it was a whirlwind as soon as I started. And then with COVID and all the other things, it's been interesting.
5 months of isolation takes its toll on absolutely everyone. And I'm just wondering how is AFSP doing right now?
Well, we are really very busy with people engaging, looking to our senior leadership, our chief medical officer, our chief research officer, looking to help people guide the process around taking care of your mental health during this lockdown, whether it be for COVID, whether it be trying to manage your children who are now homeschooling and what that means for you as a parent, but also what that means for your children. Also, how do you become more inclusive and open those conversations around the diversity, especially in Philadelphia? We are a very diverse community and we need to embrace everyone and make sure everyone is, you know, taking care of their mind, their body, their soul and their surroundings. And it's important that we as leaders in the mental health organization to help people understand how to take care of themselves, how to take care of their loved ones, and how to reach out and take care of their communities.
Let's back it up and talk about the mission of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and what you do 24/7 every day of the year.
Well, we have four guiding principles to our mission. The first is research. We are the number one privately funded research organization around suicide prevention as well as mental health in the country. We touch those in our communities that have been touched by the loss of suicide through some of our programs such as Healing Conversations as well as hosting International Suicide of Survivors Day, in November. It's always the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And it's a way that we reach out to our communities and come together to share our stories of healing and hope and support of each other because of being a survivor. Sometimes it's an isolating grief. We also have advocacy. So we are really working with our legislators, both at the local level, at the state level, as well as the federal level, to really look at what needs to be changed in our culture around laws that guide creating a culture that's smart about mental health and suicide prevention. And then the fourth, and one of the ones that keep us the busiest, I will tell you, is we have 39 programs that we offer free of charge throughout our communities. They're, for the most part, they're educational programs. It's one of our featured programs is Talk Saves Lives. It's a brief introduction to suicide prevention. We offer that to school districts, religious organizations, workplaces. We also hold them now online, but we were holding them in person where people can come in and learn about what are the signs and how do you help someone that is struggling to get the help that they need. We have special school programs specifically designed for school administrators and teachers. We have programs designed for parents of teenagers to help them understand what their teenager is going through and how to help them manage and get the help they need if they're struggling. And we also have programs for teenagers that will help them understand those changes and how to advocate for their own mental health, both at the high school level. And then we have what's called It's Real, and it's really directed towards seniors of high school and college students to help them understand their mental health and the challenges of themselves and their peers when they're going through some major changes in their life and how to advocate for their own help.
Suicide affects everybody. It doesn't know any age. It doesn't know any economic barriers, ethnicity, etc. It affects all of us.
It certainly does. Suicide, as of 2019, the CDC results are in, and what it tells us is that in the state of Pennsylvania, it's the 11th leading cause of death, and it is the second leading cause of death for the ages of 15 to 34. So that is really where we're starting to focus our energies.
Are we getting younger?
Yeah, we are starting to see, our statistics tell us that, yes, we've stayed in that 15 to 34 in the state of Pennsylvania as the second leading cause. There are other states throughout the country that are seeing even younger ages.
Mental health is part of your mission, and yes, you do research, et cetera. You advocate mental health, And one in five of us, that's one number that always sticks, that one in five of us at any given time is experiencing or will have a mental health issue of some kind. And it can be anything from just feeling the blues to an OCD problem to postpartum depressions. It's a wide gamut. And right now, all of that has to be exacerbated by this isolation that we're going through.
It certainly is. And as human beings in general, even if you don't maybe have a diagnosed mental health issue, the feeling of uncertainty and not feeling safe is causing exasperated stress, feeling overwhelmed. And then anyone that's already struggling with mental health wellness might even feel more anxious and depressed, loss of motivation to carry on. So what we're reaching out and we're working with everyone in our communities is to help them understand what they need to do to take care of their mental health. And your mental health isn't just your mind. We sometimes separate our bodies from our mind, but that's not the way it's. We're holistic. We're mind, body, and soul. And our environment and our surroundings come into place. So we really talk about having a daily routine, exercising, sleeping right, eating well, reaching out for help, spending time really with self-care, and making sure that you're reaching out to others, because as humans, we need to always feel connected. So if you're struggling yourself, reach out to a friend. Reach out to, now with telemedicine, you can continue to have your therapy sessions. But also check in on others, your neighbors, elderly people, and have those really open and honest conversations, asking people how they feel, asking them, you know, what you can do for them and how you can help them. When it comes to our youth, be honest, be direct, ask them how they're feeling, tell them their feelings are okay, encourage them to create a open dialogue, a safe environment, to let them know as an adult that you are hearing them and you want to help them.
You know, we're going to hammer home the idea of having a conversation. But of course, if you start a conversation, you have to have a follow-up. So I'm going to give this number quite often, and that is the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-TALK. Remember, 273-TALK. You can also text the word TALK to 741-741, because once you start that conversation, you've got to have a follow-up if you get that answer that, yes, I do need help. But here's the sad thing about this going on right now. I have to have conversation to start a conversation. Here, we're in a situation where we're not even face-to-face with people to see if they are struggling. What are some of the things that we should be looking for right now?
Some of the warning signs really are, we say there's three different categories. So talk. If someone's talking about suicide, about wanting to die, or using language that indicates feelings of hopelessness, desperation, or not seeing a future for themselves, talking about gaining access to the means to take their life, such as pill or firearms, talking about death a lot, or talking about feelings like they are a burden to others. Another area that you need to be mindful of is their behaviors. If someone's changed usual behaviors, change drastically, such as withdrawing from their usual activities or interests, behaving in an agitated manner, losing their temper more than usual, taking steps to access lethal means, researching suicide methods and self-harm behavior, preparing for a suicide. If you somehow find out that they're rehearsing suicides, like visiting a bridge or giving personal items away, change in their usual behaviors of including sleep. Sometimes we think if you sleep too much, it's also if you're not sleeping enough. Eating, not eating properly, or an increase, if you notice an increase in substance abuse. The other area is mood. Their mood is depressed or anxious, agitated, rage behavior, shame or humiliation. They're feeling trapped, like in prison, or feeling or a feeling of being trapped. The important thing is that it's a change from their normal mood. You can always be cautious when someone who is struggling suddenly seems much better with no explanation why. It might be because they have a plan to take their life. Sometimes we see a person's mood through what they say, through their talk. The biggest warning sign to look out for is change from their usual behaviors in either their behavior or their talk. If you know someone that is exhibiting one or more of these signs, don't be afraid to ask them directly if they're okay and if they have suicidal thoughts. It's okay to ask the question, do you have suicidal thoughts? And if they say they do, then you need to talk them through it. You need to find ways to help them. You mentioned the 1-800 number, 1-800-273-TALK. Sometimes it's a little scary or intimidating to pick up the phone, someone that's struggling, and talk to a stranger. So work with them. You can certainly, you know, do a three-way call. You call the 1-800 number, have the person on the line, talk to the person that the counselor that answers the phone, and be part of the process. If they're not comfortable talking, then help talk, you know, share the text line, 741-741, and tell them to text TALK. And the counselor on the text line will then start to engage with them. And that maybe takes a little bit of that personal vulnerability out of it, but they're getting the support they need. If for some reason you are that concerned, call 911.
Never be afraid to do that.
Nope, because you can call and ask the local police department and first responders to do a wellness check.
When someone isn't having a regular conversation with someone, COVID-19 pandemic notwithstanding, there are people who do only have one or two interactions in the course of a week with another human being. And so if you're not seeing somebody to see these, are there warning signs you can recognize for yourself? Do you follow the same guidelines?
You follow the same guidelines. If you're, I'll put myself out there. There was a time, probably end of April, I started to isolate in the isolation, and I recognized that. And I just started to make sure that I actually made time in my day to reach out to my friends, to reach out to my family. And my work here through IFSP for all the years I've been doing this, I have found that it is healing when I am helping someone else. So I actually have created a process for myself where I'm writing down two names that by the end of the day, I will reach out to them.
Wow.
And it keeps me engaged and it gets out of my own head.
It's a little mini intervention kind of that you've created for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you were aware enough to say, I am isolating from my isolation routine.
Right.
Yeah, you had to. But if it's gradual, you were self-aware enough to see this. But if it's something gradual, is there anything that we can do just like routine car maintenance that might keep us
Your routine is very important. And like I said earlier, as human beings, we do not operate well in uncertainty. So have a daily routine. Set goals each day. Make a gratitude list. Take breaks. It's hard. Going to break off a little bit here because you're working from home, so you're not engaging with, you know, you don't have your colleagues next to you to say, oh, let's take a break or let's go get coffee or whatever. So you really need to be mindful of taking a break, even if it's just to go outside and get some air. Practice mindfulness. Read inspirational books or read books that really make you happy, makes your heart sing. develop a project or look to develop a new skill. You know, there's some, you know, YouTube and all the online systems. You might want to learn how to knit. You might want to learn how to crochet or play the piano. You have opportunities through all of the online. Acknowledge something you did. Schedule worry time. Put that on your calendar. Block it off for 30 minutes where you just, and then you let it go. Journal. I am a big journaler. I don't start my day without meditation, and I'm writing in my gratitude journal, and then I check it at nighttime before I go to sleep. And again, mind, body, exercise, walk, ride your bike, get outside, set a sleep routine. There are sleep apps that help you to unwind from your day. Make sure that you're, you know, you don't have devices near you. Give yourself 30 minutes of kind of a runway to unwind from the day. Take deep, slow breaths. Take a bath or a shower, whatever makes you feel good. Always eat healthy fruit, vegetables. Drink a cup of tea. Try to limit your caffeine and alcohol. And listen to your favorite music. Forget that anybody's watching you. Get up and dance. Just move around. And make sure you're always taking care of your soul. And that is asking for help. We talked about that a lot today. Donate to a cause. Tell somebody you love them. Send them a note. Write a thank you note once a day. Reach out to someone who may need you. Follow the feel-good social media. Set boundaries for yourself and limit your news intake. I turn my news off at 9 a.m. and then I go about my day. Share things that are special. You might have done a collage and share it with a friend. Take a picture, put it on social media. Really don't lose whatever has always inspired you. Always continue to connect with that. And your surroundings. Where do you do your work? So your office, you may need to have another area in your home or your apartment where it just takes you away, takes you out of that, out of your head, so to speak. Make your space, your bedroom, your kitchen, your office, wherever, feel safe and comfortable. The colors that you love. Display something that you love to look at, so pictures or your favorite painting. Watch a favorite movie or show. I'm starting to do that. I've been trying not to, but kind of pulling out all the funny comedies that I enjoy. And just join virtual gatherings. I know there's a friend of mine does every other Friday night, they do Guess the Character. And they all dress up. And it's not your typical Halloween characters. It might be a historical figure. And everybody's got to guess who you are. And you might win a prize. So there's so many ideas out there that have been developed since we all kind of went on lockdown 5 months ago. Just reaching out and not losing human contact. We can be together even though we're apart.
And of course, there is help all the time. And that's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And the number, you can remember 800. So the important thing to remember, 273-TALK, 273-TALK. And you can text TALK to 741-741. Both of those are manned 24 hours a day. You will always find a trained counselor. Usually it's someone who's in the mental health field that is doing this as their volunteer work. You will find someone at the other end who will be able to talk with you. And if you're calling on behalf of a friend, don't be afraid to reach out and call and say, I'm going to be calling you or need your help to talk to somebody. Just dial those numbers, 273-TALK or text TALK to 741-741. My guest today is Marianne Murtha. She's the area director for the Greater Philadelphia Chapter for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If you want to find out more about what they do, and there are wonderful tips there as well. Everything that we talk about, you can find at this site, afsp.org, afsp.org, wherever you may be. For the Greater Philadelphia Chapter, go to afsp.org. /Philadelphia.
Just one little tidbit. If you do want to see all of the resources that we've discussed in one place, I suggest you go to afsp.org/COVID-19. We created this to help find all the resources that are available, not only for mental health, but there is a whole page of resources that tells you if you're domestic abuse, you need help there, food insecurities for the veterans. It just goes on and on and on. And every day we add new resources and new places that you can find help. So I really encourage everyone to look at our website, but if you're looking for the specific self-care strategies, it's afsp.org/COVID-19.
We talked about kids, and they are experiencing something unlike that they have ever seen before or generations have seen. And how are they faring, and what can we do to keep them on a steady course right now?
Well, like you said, you're so right. They are experiencing such uncertainty. When you think about it, they don't have the life experience to know that this will pass. So in addition to having their schedules disrupted, they are having few opportunities to socialize. And when you think about a child, they are really socializing every day, all day. So, their sports are taken away or their special events are taken away. It's important to sit quietly in a confidential area and have them talk to you about their feelings. Reassure them and remind them that we're all in this together. And it's so very important not to minimize their disappointment, but to listen and to validate their feelings. Tell them about the importance of universal precautions, washing their hands, wearing their mask, staying 6 feet apart, and explain why those measures are so important, that not only are they helping themselves, they're helping their loved ones, and they're helping their community at large. And it's really important that they stay healthy. Also, the virtual opportunities, and I have young children in my life, and they are so much better at figuring out the whole virtual world. But set up time for them to have Zoom meetings with their friends and just to hang out and talk about, what they're doing or their projects or what makes them happy. There's Zoom, there's Skype, there's so many different ways to engage with video calls. For youth and young adults who are, if they're exhibiting some of the behaviors or mental health issues that we've already talked about, encourage them to continue to take care of their health, making sure that they're getting regular sleep, they're eating, they're exercising. If they are on medication, make sure they're taking the medication at the prescribed time and in the prescribed amount. And then if they need to, reach out to a mental health provider. To make sure that they are staying on track with the needs that they have to stay whole, mind, body, soul, and environment.
And of course, if you're struggling, if you need advice, if you just want to talk to somebody, you can always call again, 273-TALK, 800-273-TALK, or text TALK to 741-741. And I alluded to the scores and just hundreds of volunteers that have been trained by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention to be there. There are programs out there that they offer. They will come and talk to your organization. They have peer groups for survivors. They have groups for those who survived an attempt. It's a lot of work that they do, and you got to pay the bills. And so not just to pay the bills, but also to stimulate that conversation and keep it top of mind, you do a great event every year, the Out of the Darkness Walk. And this is a trying time. So how are you going to handle it this year? This year, it will be Sunday, October 4th. And this is a big deal for families and for survivors. And how are you going to do it?
So while it's going to look different, the Greater Philadelphia Out of the Darkness Walk is unfortunately not going to be in person the way we always do at the Art Museum, but we are dedicated and committed to our mission to save lives and bring hope to those affected by suicide, and that hasn't changed. And as a strong and resilient community, we are united in our effort to fight suicide, raise awareness, educate our communities, and support those who have lost loved ones. as well as support those who have lived experience. So we are going to use our voices and share our stories to provide hope. So this year, we have created what is called the 2020 Greater Philadelphia Out of the Darkness Experience. And we are encouraging everyone, all of our supporters, all of our walkers, our sponsors, and our resource partners to walk where you are, whether that's get your team together, wear your mask, practice all the social distancing, but walk in your neighborhoods, walk at your local park, walk at the beach or at the lake, and really continue to come together on October 4th and show our support of what we do as well as our communities. And we want to inspire you. So we are in the throes of every moment the details are taking place that we will be able to offer our opening ceremony through an online streaming process. Details, more details to come. We actually have been working very diligently, probably for the past 2 months, to pivot how we're going to touch our communities. But we even have a special guest that is going to be streaming in to help us kick off our Out of the Darkness experience. More details to come.
Now you're teasing this and we're going to have fun.
So what I would tell you is follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. We have all of those. So it's AFSP, Greater Philadelphia Chapter. So you can find us on any one of those, as well as our afsp.org/Philly Walk. And we will continue to update you through all of those channels. And if you're already signed up, you'll be getting emails with the details as they unfold. If you have not signed up as a walker or as a team, again, I encourage you to sign up today at afsp.org/Philly Walk.
So we register, and then yes. On October 4th, we paint the dog and hang a sign around our neck and carry some balloons, and wherever we happen to be, we're just going to treat it as if we were walking with everyone else. I mean, we can actually do this in our jammies or butt naked on our treadmill.
That's right.
Make it a real experience this year.
Yeah.
So everything's going down. It's just going to be virtual and just where you are.
Again, the details are unfolding now, but we're also looking for our walk teams, our walkers, and the details will be more clearer in the next week or two, where we're asking you to start to send us your pictures, send us video, because we're going to start to create that online presence. And the interesting thing that we're going to do this year as an experience is the experience will take place on Sunday, October 4th, but if you cannot join us on that day, we are encouraging everybody to continue the Out of the Darkness experience to continue until fundraising until December 31st. You can set up your team and continue to do all your virtual online fundraising. If you go to Donor Drive, which is the site where you would set up your team, there are so many ideas and strategies on how to raise funds through Facebook fundraising, which you do through your Donor Drive, your site, reaching out to your friends, reaching out to your colleagues. So we're really pulling this together in a very unique way. We can go beyond just Philadelphia.
And the wonderful thing is that when you do this, you are starting a conversation.
You are starting a conversation. You're opening that dialogue. You're saving lives and you're bringing hope to those affected by suicide.
Parting words?
There's one other thing I'd like to share. It's called Hope in the Mailbox. We have created a portal where you can send hope in the mailbox. So if you know somebody that's struggling, if you go to AFSP/hope-in-the-mailbox, you can ask us to send out a message of hope, a hope postcard. You send in the name and the address of the person, and we will send out the postcard to let them know that you're thinking of them. So we encourage you to send hope and love to those that you care about.
Oh, and of course, we'll find that as well as everything that we talked about today at afsp.org for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention /phillywalk.org to register, sign up, and get more information about the Out of the Darkness Walk experience beginning Sunday, October 4th, and the fundraising going through December 31st. My guest today, the area director for the Greater Philadelphia Chapter, Marianne Murtha. Marianne, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me. having us.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.